All right, our scripture reading for today is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there is no water for the people to drink. When people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink," Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we are in the third week of Lent, that 40-day period that we use to reflect on, remember, and in some sense reenact the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, not eating, not drinking. Now, we don't do it exactly the same way. We don't spend 40 consecutive days in Lent because we're punctuated by Sundays, and we don't completely abstain from all food and water during those 40 days, which is a good thing because we wouldn't make it. And the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness is also a reflection of the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the wilderness. They were there because Moses was leading them out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. They were very happy about that when they left. And also they left under great circumstances. The Egyptians had had enough of the Israelites. And so they said, "Go and here, take some silver and some gold and some food and some other stuff and just go." And so they went out pretty well provided. But that was then. And then they got further into the desert and their resources began to be depleted. And, you know, silver and gold is great, but you can't eat or drink it. And so they also were spending that time, that period of 40 years, not eating and not drinking enough. Now, when Jesus went out there and did that, he took on that spiritual discipline, that circumstance, that whatever it was, willingly. Although he was driven or led into the wilderness, depending on which gospel you read, he was out there and he accepted the discipline of not eating and not drinking and being tempted with grace. The Israelites, not so much. When they began to be hungry and thirsty, they started blaming what had been their hero, Moses, who had taken them out. "Why did you bring us out here? You just brought us out here to watch us die, to kill us with thirst. Give us water." Now, I can understand that. I don't know how thirsty you've ever been. We have probably never been as thirsty as those Israelites were. I don't know if their water had run out or was about to run out, but that would make you panic. I once knew a couple that got stranded in the wilderness. They, I think, took a wrong turn, and their vehicle was stuck. And they had, I don't know, maybe a sandwich and a candy bar and a piece of fruit with them. And they were there for days. However, The reason they got stranded was the snow. And so they survived for several days with their sandwich and their fruit and their candy bar and the snow for water. I can understand that the people would be very upset and unhappy and casting about for blame for whatever. You know, Moses led us out here. This is all his fault. Give us water. And water is important. Water is essential. Water is necessary. Just like we've all been talking about. It has to be. We have to have it. And they had had water all along, all of their lives. God had been giving them water from the beginning. Now I'm gonna test you all, see if you can do as well as the other service did. There's a lot of mention in the Bible of water. What's the earliest in the Bible you'd like to say that water is mentioned? Genesis, okay. You wanna say where in Genesis? Genesis 1. You want to say where in Genesis 1? You got the floor. Okay. Actually, it's Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Genesis talks a lot about water. There is that water. Then God separates the waters above from the waters below, which means he's separating the heavens, like the rainwater and the clouds, those waters, from the waters below on the earth, which are covering the earth. And then God separates the waters on the earth so that there is land and there is sea. And then one of the early mentions of water that came up before was the flood. So that happens too. But before that, there's the garden. And Genesis says that there was no rain in those days. And so there was a mist that covered the land. And then Genesis talks about the four rivers that flowed. That's just in the first 1.5 chapters of Genesis. God has been giving water to God's people since before God's people existed, or before any people existed. And here, of course, God does provide the water. He tells Moses to take the staff with which he has done a lot of things. It was probably the staff that he was using while he was a shepherd and came into Egypt. And there were a lot of things that happened with that staff. One of them was that he struck the Nile River. And God says, take that staff, the one with which you struck the Nile, and strike the rock. And water came from the rock. Now, there's another story which appears in our lectionary for this morning. Not just the water from the rock, but Jesus at the well with the Samaritan woman. And these two stories have an awful lot in common. They are what Amy Jill Levine would call rhyming. Some similarities, some differences, some patterns. Jesus is at the well, and he asks the woman for some water, which surprises her because he's a Jewish man and she's a Samaritan woman, and that's like oil and water. Those two don't mix. But of course, if Jesus were really thirsty, if Jesus were not the person who could go 40 days without water, then it wouldn't much matter whether the other person was a Samaritan or not, if that person had water. Everything else would disappear. And then the story shifts, and he talks about not just the water that is necessary for physical life, which we've talked a lot about, but living water. And the idea in Scripture of living water is that it's not stagnant, it's moving. A stream, a river, waves. It's the preference for baptisms, not something we get to do very often, but it's preference. Living water, but he talks about living water that will continue to flow, and she says, oh, I want that water because I am so tired of having to come out to the well in the heat of the day and pull up the water that I need. But I'm doing it because I gotta have water, but oh, I would love to have some of that living water. And then Jesus talks to her some more, and she begins to understand that there's really more than the water that supports our physical life. And she goes and she tells everybody else, and they come out, and the message spreads. Living water. We need water for physical life. We need the living water, which represents God in so many ways, for our eternal life. When we baptize, we use water, and we use an abundance of water, which represents God's love, God's Spirit. Jesus came up out of the water when he was baptized, and there was the Spirit. So God has always provided water for God's people, but people forget. And there they are in the wilderness saying, give us water. You're not giving us water anymore. You're not supporting us. You're not helping us. You're not giving us what we need, which God has always done. Their response is one of fear, one of not understanding, one of lack of faith. And the woman at the well gains understanding and then responds with sharing what she has learned and come to understand with others. In the Beatitudes, which were the basis for our affirmation of faith this morning, we know the phrase, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. They will be filled, the hungry and the thirsty. And Lent reminds us of our needs, of our hunger and our thirst and our tiredness. And righteousness, among other things, means right relationship with God. Those who thirst for that relationship will be filled. Sometimes our Lent feels like 40 days. Sometimes our Lent feels like 40 years. However long it is a gift. It is a gift of understanding our needs and understanding how those needs can be met. And we have a choice how we can respond. We can gripe and complain. We can be hangry like the Israelites were. Or we can learn and share. Lent is an opportunity for us to understand what we need and to remember that God is always ready to fill our needs. Thanks be to God. Amen.